This morning, if you have your Bibles, which I really hope that you do, we need to bring God's Word with us when we come into His house. I encourage you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26. And you know, the last few weeks we have been in the book of Colossians and looking at Paul's letter to the Colossian church. And really, the entire letter was about what? Do you remember? It's a simple answer. Jesus. So many challenges that they faced, obstacles, distractions. And we face the same thing in our lives, don't we? Do you have distractions in your life that try to pull you away from Jesus Christ, from living a life for Him? All kinds of things. But the answer that Paul gave over and over again was Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Think about Jesus. Make sure your relationship with Jesus is where it needs to be. He was telling them it is all about Jesus. And that is the same message that hopefully we understand today. And as we look in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and we're talking about Palm Sunday, His triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and we're looking at Jesus' life as He approached what He knew was the end. I think for you and I, that's maybe difficult for us to understand. Because in general, we don't know what's coming up in the future, do we? Can you tell me what your week is going to be like?
Day by day.
Day by day, that's exactly right. Do any of us have an inkling or suspect what our week is going to be like? Yeah, we do. I think I kind of know how my week is going to go. I know some of the activities that I have, the things I have to get done. I have an idea. But can all of that change?
In a heartbeat.
All of that can change in a heartbeat. We don't know what our future holds. But here's the thing, for Jesus, it was different, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Yes.
Did He know what His future held?
Yes.
Yes. He knew exactly what He was facing. And at this point in time, as we're in Matthew 26, and we're going to begin in verse 36, this was towards the very end of Jesus' time here on this earth. It was towards the end of His ministry. He had shared, He had performed miracles, He had brought people back to life, He had healed, He had done all kinds of amazing things and preached and told people about the kingdom of God. But at this point, He knew what was coming. And He knew His time was short. And so often, even the song we just sang, it talks some about the suffering of Jesus, right? And when we think of the suffering of Jesus, what comes to your mind? When I say the suffering of Jesus, what comes to your mind? The cross, obviously. That's the first thing that comes to our mind. What else?
Sacrifice.
Dave? And that's what we're going to get at this morning. Dave's ahead of me. So often we think of Christ's suffering and we think of those, the physical things He went through. Because we're often just, we're physically minded. We think of the beatings. We think of the lashes that He took. We think of the crown of thorns that was put on His head. We think of Him being nailed to a cross. The sword that pierced His side. We think of those physical things that would have been immensely painful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, as Dave shared, the suffering for Jesus started before that. Look in Matthew 26, verse 36. And if you found that, I'm going to ask you if you're able, if you would stand as we read God's Word this morning. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 36. Then comes Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, and says to the disciples, "Sit you here while I go and pray yonder." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then says He to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. Tarry you here and watch with Me." And He went in a little further and fell on His face, and He prayed, saying, "O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." And he comes to the disciples and he finds them asleep. And he says to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me an hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went away again the second time, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he comes to his disciples and says to them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Let's pray. Lord God, thank you again for your presence in this place. I thank you for the family that you've gathered here this morning. And Lord, right now we have an opportunity to hear from your word, your message to each one of us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand how special that is to have an opportunity to hear from you, to hear your voice. You are speaking through these words. So, Lord, help us to be attentive to that. And, Lord God, I just pray that you'd impress upon our hearts what you want to impress. Help us to hear. Help us to remember the things that you want us to hear and remember. Lord, you tell us that your word is powerful and alive, and I pray that the power and life that's in your word would have an impact on us today. So thank you again for your message, Lord. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Again, as we think about the suffering of Christ, like I shared, so often we think about the physical aspect of it. The nails in his hands, the beating, the crown of thorns on his head, the blood that resulted, the sword that pierced his side, the physical pain that he went through. But the suffering encompassed a lot more than that. And I hope that we understand that, because it is important that we understand the suffering of Jesus. Because when we really want to understand how grateful we need to be and to understand what an amazing thing that Jesus did for us, we need to truly understand the suffering he went through for us. That he was willing to go through that for us. And the suffering, look at what this starts with. He's here in the garden. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he went there with some of his disciples to do what? To pray. But look at how it describes Jesus and what he has to say as he entered the garden with his disciples. In verse 37, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be what? Sorrowful. And it doesn't leave it at just sorrowful. What does it say? And very, yeah, this says the same, King James. And very heavy. What does that mean to be very heavy? Not talking about weight. What does it mean to be sorrowful and very heavy? A burden. And not a light burden, a heavy burden. Jesus was understanding the weight of what he had to do and the weight of what he was going to go through. Carrying a weight, is it an easy thing? Is it harder to carry a weight for a longer period of time? You know, so often we can carry a weight for a little bit of time, but the longer we carry it, what happens? The heavier and heavier and heavier it gets until we just can't do it anymore. We strain and we try and we want to, but we understand that we have limits. Why do we have those limits? Because we're human. We're in a fleshly body. If I were to have one of you come up here and give you a 30-pound weight to hold above your head like this, some of you could do that no problem, right? What if I kept talking and told you to stand there and I kept on talking and you were all watching the person hold up the weight? What do you think would happen? They could hold it for a while and they would want to look strong in front of all of you, right? But eventually, what would happen? Yeah, their muscles will fatigue. In our physical bodies, we are limited. Was Jesus in a physical body? Yes. Did he have physical limits because of that? Yes. He felt pain the same way that we do. As we go through the Bible, did he feel hunger? Everybody say yes. He got hungry. Do you think he got tired? Yes, he got tired. He was in a physical body. He needed sleep just like we do. He did a lot of walking around. Do you think his feet ever got sore? I'm certain they probably did. He experienced the same physical things that we do. But you know, this gives us a glimpse. This is why it says Jesus understands us. It's not just the physical he understands, but he also understands the emotional that we go through. It says here that he had a sorrow and a heaviness. The heaviness of knowing that he was going to bear the weight of sin. I believe that's the heaviness that Jesus was experiencing here. How heavy is sin? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Think about all those things that sin brings about that are hard to deal with, that weigh on us. You know, I think of sin and I think of it's when we err against God. It's when we make the wrong decision. Do you ever do that? Do you ever have guilt because of that?
Yes.
How does guilt feel?
Terrible.
How many of you have ever felt guilty? Raise your hand. If you haven't, I'm a little concerned about you. We should feel guilt. It's a natural way of knowing we've done something wrong. Does guilt feel heavy? Does it weigh on you? It should. And that's from doing one thing wrong, isn't it? What do you think the guilt of sin, Jesus knowing he was going to bear everyone's sin, the guilt of sin from all of us was going to be on the shoulders of Jesus, wasn't it? How heavy do you think that was? Sin is heavy, folks. Also, when we sin, is there ever fear that goes along with it? What kind of fear? I want you to think about this morning. What kind of fear goes along with sin? That you won't be forgiven? Is there ever fear of getting caught when you do something wrong? You ever cheated on a test in school? This includes everybody. Whether you don't have to answer, raise your hand. Tammy, close your eyes. You don't want to know if there are any of your students. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever cheated on a test? Is there ever any fear that you're going to get caught? Have you ever lied and there's a fear that you're going to be found out in your lie, caught in that lie?
Yeah.
Folks, that's the weight of sin. And that fear, it's heavy, isn't it? The weight of sin. And not just that, but what about the fear of consequences of sin? You get caught. Is there still fear there? Yes, what's going to happen? What are the consequences of this sin that I've committed? You know, Carrie goes to JDC all the time, the detention center, and I get to go every once in a while. There's consequences that they're dealing with. Are those consequences ever fun for them? They're hard. Consequences are a heavy thing to bear. The consequences of all of our sin, we're on whose shoulders?
Jesus.
Did Jesus know that weight was going to be on his shoulders?
Yes.
And ultimately, the greatest weight of sin, you understand what sin ultimately does, don't you? It separates us from God, our Creator. We are created to have a relationship with God. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Yes, we are created to have a relationship with Him. Knowing that you are going to be separated from someone that you love, is that a heavy thing?
Yeah.
You can answer, is that a heavy thing?
Yeah.
The weight of loss that comes from sin. All this weight, and I think we would all agree, these things weigh heavy on us when we experience them. Just us individually, it is a heavy weight. But then think of the weight of all of our sin that's in this room was going to be on the shoulders of Jesus. And not just the ones of us that are in this room, but this entire world, all that weight of sin was going to be on one man, and that was Jesus Christ. Did Jesus know that?
Yes.
So is it any surprise that he was sorrowful and very heavy? It wasn't just the physical pain. It was the suffering of knowing that he was going to bear the weight of sin of the world. And did that sin separate him from God for a time? Yes. Jesus, what did he say when he was on the cross? My God, finish the sentence. Why have you forsaken me? Was there a separation between him and God at that point? Yes. Why? Our sin. That is the weight that he knew he was going to have to bear. But that weight was because of us. We understand that, don't we? This person holding that 30-pound weight up here, what would you think if somebody just kept coming up and tossing more weight on top? What would you think? You know, that's what we did with Jesus, right? That's our weight he was going to hold up, the weight of our sin. So it's no surprise that he was very heavy. And then in verse 38, it gives us even more. Jesus speaks. And he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. His suffering didn't start with the cross, folks. His suffering didn't start on Golgotha. His suffering started in Gethsemane. His suffering started as he thought about what he was going to have to bear. It wasn't on the cross, but in the garden when he really began suffering as he knew what he had to deal with. And again, if we don't understand the greatness of his suffering, we cannot understand the greatness of his gift to us. Do we understand suffering? Do we ever suffer like that? Where our hearts are just heavy? Do we? Think about situations in your life. Are there ever situations where your heart is just so heavy? Do you understand that? What do we do in that darkest hour when our heart is so heavy that we don't know what to do? He said, exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. That's how heavy his heart was. What do we do in those moments? You know, I think it's interesting. You know, David in the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And I think he understood that kind of suffering. I want to read a verse in Psalms, and you can turn there if you want, but it's Psalms 119, 26, 27, and 28. He said, I have declared your ways, and you heard me. Teach me your statutes. Make me to understand the way of your precepts, so shall I talk of your wondrous works. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. David's expression was his soul was melting. Do we understand that kind of heaviness in our hearts? That is what Jesus was experiencing. And in his darkest hour, what did he do with that heaviness? He prayed. And look at the prayer that he prayed. I think so many times we forget that we need to understand Christ is our model. He is the one whose footsteps we are to follow in. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? And look at the model of prayer that he gives us here. I know he gives us a model of prayer in the Lord's Prayer that we share together. But he also gives us a model for prayer here. In his darkest hour, he went to the Father. And in verse 39, this is his first prayer. My Father, well, it says he fell on his face. Why do you think he fell on his face? A couple things. I think he was coming before the Father. And also, he was just so heavy and burdened. But look at his words. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The cup he's talking about is his future, what he was going to have to bear. The weight of the sin of the world, the pain and suffering. If it's possible, that's a request, isn't it? Jesus came to his Father and was making a request. If it's possible, what is he saying by saying if it's possible? If there's another way, can we do that? Is that understandable? If it's possible, he was making his request to his Father. Is it good to make requests to God? Yes, the Bible tells us to do that. With thanksgiving, let our request be made known to God. We already covered that this morning. Jesus was following that scripture. He was making his request known to his Father. If it's possible, if there is any other way, I would prefer not to have to go through and bear the weight of the sin of the world and die and suffer and be nailed to a cross. I would prefer not to have to do that. Because he was in the flesh and would still feel the exact pain that we would feel. He asks a request of his Father. But what does he say at the end of it? Nevertheless, this is my request, but what does he say after that? Not as I will, but as you will. In other words, but it's not what I want, it's what you want. That's powerful when you think about the burden that he was carrying. So he prays, brings this request to his Father, goes back, and again, we know the story. What are the disciples doing? They're supporting and encouraging him, right? Yeah, they're sleeping. So Christ tells them their flesh is weak, and we know how that goes. But I want to jump down to his second time going to his Father, because then he returned to prayer. In verse 42, he went away again the second time, and he prayed saying what? This isn't really a request this time. He changes what he says. He says, "Oh, my Father," starts it the same way, "if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it." So in other words, if not, that was my request, but if that's not possible, the end of the prayer is the same, isn't it? What does he pray the second time? "Your will be done." In other words, what you want, not what I want. When we are in that kind of heaviness and bearing that kind of a burden in our life, it's easy to just pray and tell God what we want, isn't it? Isn't it? And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know for me, when there's something that big that's bearing on your heart and causing you that kind of weight, you just want to say, "God, you've got to do this for me." But look at Jesus, all the weight that he was bearing, sorrowful even unto death, very heavy, and what does he say? "Your will be done. This is my request, but your will be done." He goes back out, and what are they doing, the disciples? Still encouraging him, moral support, right? No, they're still sleeping, or sleeping again. Verse 44. This is a third time, and so many times the Bible's has things in threes, doesn't it? One long before this, Jesus was talking to Peter, and he says, "Before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me." But here, Jesus goes back to pray the third time. And look at verse 44. He says, "He left them again and went away again and prayed the third time." Does it give the words that he used here? No. What does it say? Saying the same words. Well, that's interesting because he said two different things in those first two times, didn't he? The first time was a request. The second time was, "Well, if not." But what was the same about both those times that he went before his Father? What was the constant in his prayer? "Your will be done." That was the constant in Jesus' prayer, wasn't it? So as we think about Jesus and the suffering that he went through for us, because that helps us understand the gift that he has for us, what do you think, if this is a constant in Jesus' prayer life, what do you think should be a constant in ours? Everybody say, "Same thing."
Same thing.
And it's not a hard thing to remember, but it's a hard thing to put into practice sometimes. Let's use "your." We don't really use "thy" a lot, right? "Your will be done." In whose life? But what if you want it really, really bad? Then what? Does it get harder? What if it's for a family member that really needs to be healed? Because we're talking serious things here, folks, and I'm not making light of that. What if it's for a healing that we feel so strongly about? What about then? Your will be done. Is it harder to say for that? What if it's about another situation in life, a family member that's going through something that's hard? Then what? This is the same answer, folks. It's not hard. Your will be done. We have things that weigh heavy on our hearts. I know that. I don't know everything that goes on in your life. I don't even pretend to. But as a pastor, I get the opportunity to talk with a lot of you. And you know what? I know that you have things that are heavy in your lives at times. I know that. And you're not unique in that. You know, as we look around the sanctuary, as we come together as a family, the reality is we all have things that are heavy at times in our life, don't we? Trials, struggles, things that we don't have all the answers to, things that we so much wish were different. But that's what we're seeing here. Do you think Christ so much wished there was another way? It's no different than us. There are times that so often we wish so hard that something was different. But folks, here is our model. In the midst of that, talk to your Father. Let your request be made known to God. But let the constant in your prayer be the same thing that it was in Jesus's. Because what did He say? We're getting there. What did He say? Your will be done. Has to be the constant in our lives. Because look at the result. What was the result of this heaviness that Jesus had? The request of the Father, if not, your will be done. And God's will was done in the end, wasn't it? Did Jesus here get the request that He asked of His Father? Did He? No. He had to go through it. But look at the result. What was the result of God's will being done? What was the relationship, or what was the result for us? Salvation. Salvation. Are you glad in that instant that Jesus did not get His request? Are you glad in that instant that God's will was done? Do you think in our lives, if God's will is done, it's going to end up in something good? Say always. Folks, it will. That doesn't mean it will be easy. It was not easy for Jesus. But in the end, look at the result. Our lives will not always be easy. If we pray for God's will to be done, here's the part we don't like. We will not always get our way. Do you like to hear that? It's the truth. For God's will to be done, that means we don't always get our way. Praise God. Because guess what? We do not know what is best. We think we do a lot of times. Would you agree with that? I will freely admit, most of the time I think that I know what's best. Yes, my wife agrees. I need to be fully willing to admit that I do not know what is best. And that's why when I make my request to God, no matter how much I may want it, no matter how much I think that's the right thing, I still need to say the constant that Jesus had, your will be done. And understand that God's way is always better. And the end result will always be better. I want to end with one scripture. If you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. Because this is a result of God's will being done. In our darkest hour, when we turn to God and pray and let our request be made known, but also say, God, not my will, but yours. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. When God's will is done, who ends up being glorified? God. When God's will is done, who ends up being joyful? Us. It may be hard for a season, but we get to be joyful in the end when God's will is done. Folks, the sermon this morning, it's all about the fact that Jesus was suffering. He was in his darkest hour. He prayed, but above all, his constant to his Father was, "Your will be done." I don't know what you may face. I don't know what you're facing now. I know some of it's hard. I do not have all the answers. As a pastor, often I wish I did. I do not. But what I can tell you above all else is you can take your request to God. But I encourage you also to follow the example of Jesus. And regardless of what you're praying for or how bad you want it, have the constant that Jesus had and say, "Your will be done." Because in the end, it will be good and it will be right. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for this morning and I thank you for your word. Lord, you give us the truth, and sometimes that truth is hard. We look at Jesus and the suffering that he went through, not just on the cross, but in the garden. We look as he prayed and he had a sorrow unto death. He had a heaviness, knowing that he was going to bear the weight of the sin of this world, our sin, my sin. And yet, as he asked his Father, if there was another way, he said, "But not my will, but yours." Lord, as we go through our lives, help us to understand what Christ went through for us. Help us to understand he was willing to bear the weight of the sin of the world, our sin. He was willing to do that because of his love for us. That when we understand his great suffering, we understand his great gift just as much. Lord, help us also to take that as an example in our lives. That no matter what we face, how heavy it may be, how difficult it may be, as we make our request to you, help us to have the constant in our prayer life of saying, "Your will be done, not mine." Because the end result of that will be good, and will be joy, and will be hope. So Lord, help us to have that constant in our lives as well. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning as we close the altars open, it is every Sunday. You know, we serve a God that so much wants a relationship with us. But we have to start it. We have to draw near to him, and then it says God will draw near to us. This morning, I don't know what you're going through in your life, but the altar's open. If you want to draw near to God, come and pray, and he will draw near to you. If you want me to pray with you, I would love to, but the altar's open regardless. Come and talk to the Father if he's speaking to your heart this morning. God bless you this morning, and as you go through your life, when you have those heavy things on your heart, take them to the Lord in prayer. But remember to pray his will be done. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord God, thank you again for this morning that you've given us. Thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that we would remember what Christ went through for us, not just the physical pain, but the emotional, the mental, knowing that the weight of the world would be upon him, the weight of the world's sin. And yet he still said, "Your will, Father, be done." And help us to pray in that way. So in each one of our lives, Lord, let your will be done. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week. Don't forget, tonight at 6:00, hope to see you here.